From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, April 5th, 2017. And on this day, exporting wood chips to Europe could be very lucrative for Maine, but it's complicated. Now a company may have the solution. And the tip credit continues to draw passionate interest by people on both sides of the issue. Those stories ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Law Offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Let's start our show tonight in Augusta, where the continuing debate over the tip credit rages on. At the Statehouse today, supporters and opponents of the way the new minimum wage law changes how tipped workers are paid filled three overflow hearing rooms and crowded the hallways. Mal Leary has our story.
Last fall, voters approved a citizens' initiative that gradually increases Maine's minimum wage over a period of years. It also requires that restaurants pay a higher minimum wage than they have in the past. The new law did away with the so-called tip credit that allowed restaurants to pay a lower minimum wage for workers who received gratuities. A statewide group calling itself Restaurant Workers of Maine wants to bring back the old system and restore the tip credit. Lisa Sturgeon, who works at a Bangor restaurant, is one of them.
I have volunteered my time to help reinstate the tip credit, like countless others across the state. As you can see, we are the Restaurant Workers of Maine. We are not paid lobbyists.
Sturgeon was among hundreds of workers, mostly from the restaurant industry, who crowded into the hearing rooms set aside for the legislature's Labor, Commerce, Research, and Economic Development Committee. Some in the hallways outside the hearing complained that the committee let lawmakers speak for over 2 hours before a single member of the public got to testify at the public hearing. Sandra Christensen, a server at a Portland restaurant, says she fears that the higher minimum wage system created in the new law will result in a pay cut.
Bad tips do happen, and they have happened for my entire career, but it's funny the frequency in which they are happening now that this bill, the referendum was passed.
But some servers are happy with the new law and urge lawmakers to resist efforts to bring back the tip credit. Kathy Rondini of Augusta says she's retired and only works part-time, but the $30 a week increase that she saw when the law took effect has been life-changing.
That little extra bit of money each paycheck changes major crises into simple inconveniences.
Rondini says she had volunteered on the campaign last fall that passed the referendum and was glad that she had helped with its passage. Cheryl Bullock of Harpswell also supports the new law. She testified that when she owned a sports bar in Lewiston, she paid the regular minimum wage to her staff, and they still got tips.
And for the record, no one stopped tipping my workers because of their pay. People tip for service, not because of what people are making.
Bullock says the voters supported the change this past fall and that the legislature should not second-guess that decision. Some of those who came to support the referendum were questioned about whether they were paid staff of the Maine People's Alliance, the progressive organization that spearheaded the campaign. Some were. But Joshua Chasson of Portland, who says he's a Bernie Sanders Democrat and considers himself a progressive, blasted the MPA.
The Maine People's Alliance is bullying Democratic legislators and making this a partisan issue. It is not. It is a common sense legislation issue.
Legislation to reinstate the tip credit does have some bipartisan support. The issue dominated the day, even though the panel was scheduled to take up other related measures, including a repeal of automatic increases based on inflation and the creation of a training wage that would be lower than the regular minimum wage. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The LePage administration is fighting a bill that has bipartisan support. The bill, designed to bypass the governor in releasing $15 million in voter-approved bonds for senior housing. Voters approved the bonds 2 years ago. If the bill is approved, it would circumvent the governor, who has refused to release them. The governor's finance commissioner, though, says the governor believes he's fulfilling his role in the process.
That there is a more active role than simply a ministerial one, one of judgment, one of applying a position. And so there's a fundamental difference of agreement there.
Supporters of the bill say the governor's using the bonds as political leverage, as he did with conservation bonds 2 years ago. The bonds were designed to address an annual shortage of 9,000 units of new senior housing. The shortage is projected to grow to 15,000 units by 2022. The Maine State Housing Authority subsidizes roughly 150 new senior housing units a year. Maine still has lots and lots of trees, but the decline of the paper industry has devastated rural communities that depend on forest products. Wood chips, which are burned for fuel in biomass energy plants, are in strong demand in Europe and have the potential to rejuvenate the forest product sector in Maine. The only problem is they can't be exported because of all the pests and pathogens that could be spread to other countries. Now, one Maine company has a solution to that problem. A.J. Higgins has our story.
This is a large capacity items here. We've had to kind of shuffle things around in the shop in order to make room.
As the senior project manager at the Fasco Corporation in Lincoln, it's David Cook's job to keep his metal fabricators on track to build the two heater drying systems that are scheduled to be trucked to Eastport for testing in the next few weeks.
We've built some platforms to build these heaters, which are mostly aluminum.
Fasco President Alan Smith says if the tests are successful, the heater units will be placed aboard cargo vessels and used to decontaminate low-grade wood chips for shipment to Europe.
They're going to burn natural gas through these 12 heater units, and there's a giant blower in here which will push all of the heat out through a 40-inch duct header which feeds the top of a tower that has five individual ducts going down to the bottom, which disperse through the very bottom of the cargo hold in the ship, and that forces the hot air up through all the wood chips.
The unit spends several hours heating up the ship's airtight hold until the humidity level reaches 100% and the temperature peaks at 140 degrees Fahrenheit. 30 minutes later, when the phytosanitation process is over, the chips are bug-free and ready for sale to markets in Europe. UMaine Professor of Forest Operations, Bioproducts, and Bioenergy, Doug Gardner, says that means that the state of Maine could finally exploit a competitive advantage.
You know, in the southern U.S., they're shipping a lot of biomass material to Europe right now. The fact that, you know, Maine is closer to Europe, provides a shorter shipping distance.
And demand is strong. Countries in the EU have signed on to a mandate requiring that they must obtain 20% of their energy supply from renewable power sources by 2020. Those clean power goals have the potential to revitalize Maine's forest products industry by providing revenue for landowners and paychecks for woodsmen, truckers, and stevedores. Dana Duran, executive director of the Professional Logging Contractors of Maine, says it would be better if Maine could export more value-added forest products, but
beggars also can't be choosers at this point, and we need markets, and they're important, and I think Eastport presents an opportunity, and I hope that they're very successful.
The development of this technology actually began 7 years ago in response to new regulations imposed by the European Union that effectively ended export of Maine wood chips. Several Maine companies joined forces with the university to come up with this heater-dryer system, which is finally ready for a trial run later this month. In Eastport, expectations are high.
There's been much discussed about Washington County. This is, I think, a key to our future.
Chris Gardner is director of the Eastport Port Authority.
We need to continue to invest in what the next industry is going to be. And we think that the Port of Eastport our growth here is not just good for Eastport, but it's got to be good for the entire county, for the entire region, and quite honestly, the entire state.
Gardner says that in addition to the $1.7 million for the construction of the heater prototypes, the state and the Port Authority's expansion that accommodates the new system cost an additional $10 million. 2 years ago, according to international trade monitoring groups, the EU purchased nearly $685 million in wood-based fuel products from the U.S., mostly from the southeastern states. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
And finally today, some good news for loon lovers. The number of loon chicks in southern Maine's lakes and ponds has increased dramatically over last year's count. The count by Maine Audubon used almost 900 volunteer counters who looked at 304 lakes and ponds across the state. They found a 76% increase in the estimate of chicks, now 384. But Audubon wildlife biologist Susan Gallo says, contrary to appearances, the trend for chicks is flat.
The number of chicks that we estimate tends to vary from year to year, goes up and down pretty wildly. We never quite know what the chick count is going to be, but last year was a big increase. But again, that it doesn't really mean anything in terms of a long-term trend. We see it's pretty flat.
Meanwhile, the adult population is, on average, rising over time. That's true even though it was just very slightly up last year and down from the five-year average. Maine's loons are not a threatened or endangered species, but Gallo says they're of concern because warming temperatures associated with climate change are bad for the species. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, April 5th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and to our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.